Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters with you once again over the podcast airways. EZR, I know you want to jump into this episode. I think I would probably classify it as boring, although there were some moments that I think were more exciting than past moments.
I was bored.
Oh, well.
I was kind of bored.
Rewind the podcast. Let's start over. This episode sucked. Caitlin, what'd you,
Caitlin,
what'd
you
think?
You're going to lose unless you say boring.
It's two against one.
I mean, it was an episode, you know? Like, I feel like.
Yeah, it was TV. I mean, who doesn't like a break? Yes.
Of all the episodes you've ever watched, that was one of them.
Yeah, it was sure one of them.
40 minutes in, I was like, 40 minutes in, something happened. And I was like, when is this going to be over? And I clicked on the little, you know, bottom number.
Because you're on
thing.
The Hulu playback. Yeah.
Even so, you know, I watch it like 40 minutes delayed just so I can skip the commercials. And then at some point, even halfway through the episode, Chris Harrison came out and said, well, you know, this pool party instead of a cocktail party. And then I was like, oh, so it's almost over? Nope. Still has like halfway through.
Right.
So, right. It was, I guess boring is kind of like snobby of me to say, because like Caitlin said, you know, it's TV. We could have tuned out if I wanted to, but yeah.
We're forced to watch the show because we do a podcast about it.
There's a difference between like DMV board and TV board.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to say I was DMV bored.
You know, I do not get bored at the DMV. First of all, we all have phones now. And what's the difference between looking at your phone at home versus looking at your phone at DMV? And then second, I actually get hypnotized by that voice. I don't know if it's just a California DMV thing, but you get a ticket and then it says like G50. And then there's this voice that G42, window 3, G44, window 7. And it's both useful because you know when you're going to come up because the numbers go up in sequence. But it's also excruciating because if you have G50 and they're only on G15, you know you're going to be there in a while. It's like when you ride the subway and the signs and the voices are all from 30 years ago because they don't ever update the software.
Huh. That's how they do it in Maryland, too, is the same numbering system, like a letter and then a number. But I was just there a couple of weeks back because I needed to replace my driver's license after it got stolen. And they let us use, I don't know if they have these in California, self-serve kiosks.
Ooh.
Where, like, you're renewing your license, but nothing's really changing. You can just go to a machine that's in the DMV instead of, like, having to wait for a person.
The DMV now, you can go online and look how long you'd wait.
Right.
You can
there's really no
fill out forms while you're waiting. Yeah. So I guess I'm just saying in the general public's mind of what it is. There's been a few times, the times I'm ever really bored in my life is when I'm waiting for something else, like for someone.
I think what you're ultimately saying here is that this episode was more boring than the DMV. Let's just settle on that. Although I don't know, I think there were parts that were maybe more exciting than, you know, like that moment when it's on G49 and you have G50, that anticipation. I think there were some moments like that in the episode, don't you think?
Not this episode. There's a lot of things coming up. Like next week's episode, I'm all in on that.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Did you watch the preview? Yeehaw!
That's
EZR watched
to be for our country talk.
I just pictured myself with a rodeo with my hat, you know, like jumping up and down saying, yeehaw, EZR actually watched the previews for next week.
I don't know how I watched it, but I did. I normally end it, but I must have just kept it going because I was doing something else. But just even the future of anything, like Peter brought up a lot of hot button issues this episode. And in that way, it was exciting because he did lay down the groundwork for a lot of things. Like he said something about Jed. And I was like, whoa, you know, I thought they were friends.
Right? I don't know. Friends when they lived in a mansion together.
All the guys were friends.
When they lived in a mansion together, I mean, that's... maybe they haven't seen each other since.
There's some people that are really good friends, right? And there's some people that are like, what?
I feel like, doesn't Jed hang out with some of the Bachelor people still?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if Peter's one of them, but...
He dropped that new song. I sent it to you all on text message.
Yes, I consciously chose not to listen.
Googled Jed's new song. It's objectively bad. There's no question it's bad. It's just the singing is bad.
He's a bad singer. Yeah. We've talked about that before. Yeah,
exactly. Here's the thing. There's a couple things in play with Peter. First of all we've seen so far this season is Peter touring around his hometown. You know, I'm not the only one to point that out. I think we're all caught on to that. I mean, he's just going to his local spots. And then just to make it a true FU to us, when they do travel next week, they're going to do the great mistake by the lake, Cleveland.
Cleveland. I'm going to defend Cleveland here.
Caitlin, you and I basically met in person for the first time in Cleveland. Cleveland adjacent.
Yeah, I would say Cleveland adjacent, not the city itself. But yeah. I've had some good experiences in Cleveland. There's great ice cream there.
Yeah, I heard that the ice cream is very good.
Yeah, and the art museum is good.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what else happened there. There's a nice covered market. I think it's the West Side Market, maybe. That place was nice. I sound like I'm like really reaching for it, but I did enjoy the times I visited Cleveland. Like, it was one of those places where I didn't have high expectations, and then I went and was like, oh, this is cooler than I expected.
Yeah. I suppose I like going to towns that aren't on the beaten path. So if I met somebody who was from West Lake Village, I'd probably be pretty interested in seeing it, because I don't spend much time in the Western Valley, West Hills, or whatever it's called, but not on a TV show. I mean, it's just, we went to the line dancing bar he likes, which is in Calabasas, which, by the way, is not the same country and Western bar where the shooting happened last year.
I was going to bring that up.
Thousand Oaks,
Thousand Oaks, which is really close. I mean, it's a bordering town. And right, and it's, so to
How
make that
clear to
people.
How many country and Western bars are there?
Exactly. That was my problem.
There's at least not many. Which is one too many for LA.
If there's two, I'm really surprised that there's two. Like, and in that part of town, which is the rich part of town. So to make this clear for people, I mean, anyone can look at a map. Westlake Village, where Peter's from, is in LA County. See, Thousand Oaks is in Ventura County, and I'm pretty sure Calabasas.
I stand.
And is in Los Angeles County. Yeah. Is Westlake Village. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to make that, because it's really weird. So actually, weirdly enough, the first, the weekend before Peter, before the premiere of The Bachelor, I went to Westlake Village, Thousand Oaks. So Thousand Oaks is in Ventura County, which is not rural, but it's beachy, and it's, you know, high price, but I think it's less expensive than LA County. I'm pretty sure it is. And Westlake Village, Calabasas, is LA County expensive. I mean, Calabasas, that's where the Kardashians live, right?
Uh-huh.
So on the Thousand Oaks side, which is, they're very similar. They're more similar than Westlake Village is to the rest of LA County. There was a shooting at a country bar, which, like we said, has to be one of the only country bars in the county.
Uh-huh. Aren't all country and Western bars named the same thing? Aren't they always called the Saddle Rack? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, what?
No, I don't know that that's a common thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because these all had different names. Yeah, it was the shooter. It was like his sister that he targeted and then shot 12 other people or something at the same time.
I know of one Western themed for the kitsch purpose, for the like kitsch look bar in LA city, outer city that I can think of. One. And like I said, it's just for looks. They don't play country music.
Well, here's the thing, because this is what I was thinking about. Because Caitlin, I think it's because you and I talked. You and I talked about good places to have first dates or something, or meet people. Line dancing mm-hmm. is a great thing to do if you're a single guy looking to hook up.
What?
Is it?
How do you know that?
It's like going to salsa dancing. If you're a single guy and you're with a bunch of guys and you want to go meet women, go dance. Don't go to a nightclub because it's loud and crazy. You go to salsa dancing or you go line dancing. Because it's a great way to, you're just standing next to people, you're moving around. Am I right, Caitlin? Huh.
I get your point now. And so I lived in Texas for a summer once. Right? Wow.
There we go. See, I knew it would be great to bring this to your attention, Caitlin.
So I learned how to do the two-step when I was living there. And we would go to you wouldn't call them like country western bars, because it's like in Texas, there are a ton of these honky-tonks. I think is what they actually
They're
call
just
them.
Called bars there.
Yeah, it's like a pretty normal thing. There's a lot of them. I guess like the really old ones are like dying out. But I lived in Austin and there's a famous one called the Broken Spoke that Willie Nelson played at, you know. And I used to go two-stepping there sometimes with my friends. And it would be like, as a woman, guys would be coming up to you because these old places are filled with elderly men who are like, they love dancing. And they do not have enough women to partner with everyone.
Right.
If you come in, they're like, strangers will come up to you to be like, will you dance, basically. Right. And then sometimes one of my cousins I was living with when I was in Texas. So she got like asked by an old school serious dance guy to go two-stepping when we were at the bar. And she's like, yeah, you know, why not? And she said, like, he's silent the whole time, like no conversation at all. And then he's walking her back to the table, which is also a thing they do. Like, they'll take your hand off the dance floor and walk you back to the table to be like, I've returned you to where I picked you up, basically. And on the way back, he said, you have to work on your twirls. And that was it. Whoa. That's the only thing he said to her.
That's heavy.
But there is, like, there's a gender imbalance some of the time.
I kind of pictured the LA ones being the opposite. Like girls' night out, I imagine, would be at some place like a line dancing bar. So there'd be a lot of women looking for male partners. So if you're with your dudes and you want to go meet some women, that just seems like a great place to go. But you know, where I'm heading with this is the fact that he took Victoria P to the line dancing bar on their date. Didn't they go through the motions like learning how to line dance? Not only does he already know how to line dance, but she's from Louisiana. So I would suspect that she is an expert line dancer.
I didn't
they
see
did
them
do like,
learn.
A scene where he was putting his hands on her hips to be like, you move them
this
way.
Yeah,
this
is where you go now.
Thing.
Yeah. Did you notice that they were taller than everyone by like a good half foot? Everyone else that was line dancing was significantly shorter than them too. So is the two-step, is that the one where you put your leg out and you keep your heel on the ground and then you wiggle your front of your foot back and forth?
No, the two-step is, so it's not like a line dance, it's a partner dance.
Okay.
It's basically you do like there's two main steps, that's why it's called the two-steps. But it's like you do two steps to one side and then one step to another, and you kind of, there's twirling you can do as well. Yeah, the man can be twirled as well, which is kind of cool. You know
That'd
that they're
cool,
good
yeah.
at dancing when the man like wants to be twirled. You know that means like he's a good, he knows what he's doing. You know,
yeah,
that is so cute.
See, EZR, this sounds fun. I think we should.
No,
go.
No, it doesn't. But no, I'm not interested. I'm not. I don't want to drive all the way over there. Us, it's a novel. It really is a novelty. Now, I have no. I get what you're saying, Craig, with the girls' night out, because it'd be one of these things like, oh, let's go, you know, whatever people do that they think is like a one-time only thing.
Yeah, I guess you're
let's
right.
Let's go hot air ballooning.
Have you ever been down to Alpine Village and gone dancing with the German band? Yeah,
a lot.
A lot? See, I would say that's a one-time thing.
No way! That place is cool.
If you go down there a lot, then people go line dancing a lot.
Well, to be fair, I grew more in that area.
Yeah, just
so of
like
course
theater.
I've been there a lot because when I was younger, you know, you just go and party, and there, it's a little bit different in terms of it. I was close to it.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Peter's close to that. So when Peter was growing up, He had two things. He had three things to do.
That's not true. He was a little child star. He was a
he was in one commercial.
He lived in L.A. That he didn't live. Up. He was in Bold and the Beautiful or something else like that.
Oh, was he?
Really? Yeah, he lived in L.A. He obviously had parents that were well off and enough off. I don't think he that was the only bar in town. And that's no, I don't know how he knows to do that or why they're even bringing it up. This is what I was getting at with this. I know you're getting somewhere, but I was looking forward to a Well, I was looking forward to a coastal season this season. I was looking forward to LA person, a real LA person, not a fake move there from wherever LA person. And
whoa,
and
you're going
some,
all MAGA
but they still
on LA
have
here.
To appeal to middle America way too much, huh?
You just went MAGA on California. There's real LA and there's not real LA people. That sounds an awful lot like real Americans and not real Americans.
That is a classic, like, that's what we're talking about when we say someone who flips the script on what we're talking about. That's like saying, you know, are you going to be racist against white people? Because that's racism against white people. That's what it sounds like, what you're saying.
Am I not a real LA person because I only lived here for a decade?
Now, you know as much as anyone else that transplants are very different people than real Angelenos. They're different people.
So I'm not a real Angeleno.
Are you a real Angeleno?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I think the vast majority of real Angelenos are immigrants, not transplants, immigrants. There's a difference. It depends how you come here, with money, with expectations.
This is a hill I'm not willing to die on, so let's go back. I think your point's totally valid, which is, coastal. We're not getting the coastal LA vibe here at all. We're getting
this could have taken place in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the elite coastal.
That's a narrative.
Why aren't we in Venice with all the millionaires that argue over the homeless population increasing?
Yeah, that's not my issue. That's not what I'm talking about. So,
you know what this reminds me of? Quick tangent, I guess, but did either of you watch The Americans?
No, the spy, Soviet spy show?
Yeah, the, like, 80s Soviet spy show with, like, with married... Felicity. Yes, yeah. There's, like, a storyline that the husband and the spy duo, so, you know, like, they're Russians impersonating Americans in the 80s. That one of his dreams is to learn how to line dance because it's like really American. So they have like a scene where like he goes line dancing by himself, basically.
Did he meet women?
No, he just had like a good time, just like shuffling in his cowboy boots, you know.
I see. See, in my younger days, I always just... felt no. Go ahead, either. Go ahead.
Oh, the only thing I was just gonna say that I'm kind of disappointed that like, you're saying, Craig, that the producers know what they're doing. But there's a lot of people who choose to live here and then don't choose to live here. So I think there's a story to be told here that can everyone feels like or the general narrative out there. I'm saying it, too, is that the coastal elites shove down our culture down middle America's, but I don't feel that way. I feel like it's totally the opposite. I see a lot of middle America stories every day. So I'm interested. It doesn't have to be a rich kid story. I mean, he is, but it could be just a regular story. I don't know if he actually knew how to lie dance, if he actually likes country music. You know, that'd be weird, right?
I think he does. I mean, the way he dresses.
The flannel?
The plan. I think you can grow, especially in the Valley. It's easy to pretend you're not part of the rest of LA. In fact, there's a whole identity thing going on up there. But I kind of get the sense that his, I don't know what you call it, the persona. I don't know what you, I mean, we all pick a way that we look and act, whether it's surfer dude or corporate dude or
he's definitely
hipster.
Not surfer dude.
I think his shtick is kind of this kind of country and western thing. You know, he flies old twin engine planes and he dresses in flannel and he likes to go to country and western bars. I'm just waiting for them to ride a horse, and it'll complete the package. And you know that's coming.
I don't know. Like, okay.
And they're going to Cleveland.
Yeah, they gotta ride horses.
I don't buy it.
Is he gonna forge some steel in Cleveland? Do you think? Like, go to an old ironworks.
Oh my god!
Join a labor union. That'd be cool. Maybe we're giving Cleveland. Maybe this is gonna be. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I don't know. Leo, for example, remember Leo from Becca Kufrin's season? He's actually from Los Angeles, and he was raised in the Valley, and he has that surfer dude thing. Yeah. I thought you were, no, you weren't there. Yeah, and he has that surfer dude thing, but it's not like you can pick. I mean, I guess I don't know anyone from that side of town, and I really don't. Everyone I can think of moved to, like, you know, even the Granada Hills area, which is still rich. It's just it'd be really hard to do. It'd be like if I want to be a you know, it'd just be difficult. Right? Wouldn't it?
I don't know. I mean, when you're in the Valley and you go west, it does get more and more, like, not rural, but countryside-like as you go west.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean you adopt a culture that has nothing to do with you.
Well, he might not have adopted it. If it is more rurally. They said that they were going to play up his Cuban roots, but we haven't seen that at all.
Right, exactly. So a Cuban German person living in the West in the Beach Valley is going to like country. Like, it just seems like too hard of us. Anyways, what I'm trying to say ultimately is that it seems like they're putting it on him so that they can keep appealing to, even though there was no controversy about him, there was no, oh, are they really going to pick this LA guy? Like, no one ever said that, but they're still compensating for it.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, we've talked about this endlessly about who constituent target audiences of this show. And I don't want to other people from the Midwest, but maybe to them, they're looking at this and they see it totally the opposite. They're like, oh, he's totally LA because of X, Y, and Z. And we just don't see it because we're embedded in it.
Except that we would have heard it somehow. So you can move on to Victoria P. unless you have anything else to say about this.
She's from Louisiana, which I already said. Say you went on a vacation to Japan and your host family or whatever took you to an American restaurant, like a burger joint. You're like, no, I don't want to have burgers. I want to have Japanese food, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what she was going through her mind. Like, I'm from Louisiana. I'm from the South. I'm from a state that's right next to Texas. I don't want to go country line dancing for a date.
Yeah. Well, I was more thinking of, like, the things she said after that.
I have thoughts about that, that Peter asking God to look out for his future wife stuff, but we can get to that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back to that.
Okay. You know, we talked about this last week, that it's strange that she is coming out with this bad story, you know, the story that isn't going to fit Peter's perfect narrative of, I can't wait to have two sets of parents. Like, that's what his dream is at the end of this, more than a wife. For some reason, it feels that way, right? And then she said something like, oh, I didn't feel deserving of this. And to me, it's when someone doesn't feel deserving of love, or they get mistreated by their partners because their own parents mistreated them in some way, that's a really difficult thing, and that manifests negatively. I know people with similar stories that are at this point, as 30-year-olds or older or a little bit younger, huge manipulators at best. They're unhinged. They're selfish adults. They, you know, if they have kids, they're bad parents. Or they get walked all over, and at the same time, they're still bad parents, or they're bad. They're not reliable. They're bad friends. They're bad whatever. They're bad employees. She says something at the end that's like, there's no, you know, I can't wait. This, he might be my knight in shining armor. And I think anyone who's a little bit more coherent, I don't know if it was just for the show, I'm not accusing her of anything because I don't dislike her, knows that that is not the answer. The answer is intensive therapy and unraveling your past. But it's strange to me.
I was going to say, I hope she has gone to therapy for all of dealing with, like, how her childhood has clearly messed her up.
Is that what she said, though? Let me yes. kind of counter that. So that is her story. So we've talked about this in past seasons. Everyone has that story they bring to the table, and then it's just a matter of when they're going to bring it out to the bachelor or bachelorette, right? We're all in agreement.
Didn't you feel authentic when she did, though? Unlike Kaylin,
I'm not doubting her authenticity.
You're not saying authenticity, I know, but I'm saying that it's the way she. Everyone, not everyone has that story, but a lot of people do, and when they do, they bring it up at strategic moments or later on
they're
in the season.
To.
And this time, it felt a little bit less strategic.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, I was going to say that they're expected to bring out the story. She brought up the story. That doesn't mean she's totally hung up on it and needs therapy. Because they're saying that the producer's like, okay, what's your story? Okay, you got it. Now make sure to bring it out at the appropriate time. She could be totally over it, but she still needs to tell it because that's her story. But you're right. Maybe it wasn't so planned and she brought it out because she really is hung up about it. I don't know if it was very clear.
Well, I don't know if she needs to be like hung up about it for it to be something that it would be good for her to have explored in therapy, if that makes sense. Like having to take on this responsibility of like taking care of her little sister and feeling like she had to like be the rock of her family. Like, even though it seems like she's turned out, you know, like she seems like a really nice person. She seems very sweet. That I can't imagine that you wouldn't have issues related from like having a parent die young and then the other one be an addict, you know?
Well, how do we know she hasn't had therapy?
Well, she's like 23. I mean, she could have had. But my bigger question of this is not just that, but how do you even decide to enroll in any pageant or worry about miss anything if you don't have any parental help? I mean, every single pageant person has this huge support system. And that's not saying go for it, you know, that kind of support system. That's rides and makeup and money and, you know, classes and this and support. I mean, it's like you're not going to have a drug addicted parent and then have them take you to soccer practice. Like, you're not going to be able to participate in the Olympics or something like that.
Well, maybe someone took her under her wing.
That's strange.
I mean, well, I agree. So I agree.
Tell that too.
There's some things that seem less likely than others. To be fair, I think soccer actually would be one that really makes sense because the AYSO, right? Is that the police league? Is that the one started by the police? The police started it to get at-risk youth out playing sports because soccer doesn't require much, right? You can get cleats easily and there's a ball. PAL, that's it. The Police Athletic League. That was created specifically for at-risk youth. So that seems very likely, but you're right. Pageants. What's that movie? Come on. What's the movie? It's the Miss Sunshine, Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, okay. I was like five pageant movies I can think of that.
Well, there's also the one with
Congeniality.
Yeah, Miss
Congeniality. Yeah, Miss Congeniality and Drop Dead Gorgeous is a pageant movie.
Okay. Well, I was thinking of Little Miss Sunshine, because that's about a dysfunctional family. They put the daughter in, and of course she uses her differences to her advantage, right? I think that's kind of the underlying thing.
Yeah, but look at Victoria P. She's not
right. So how did she get into pageants? That's the big question. That's a very valid question. Okay, so where do we go from here?
It just it feels like some puzzle pieces aren't locking in. So I'm not doubting her, but I am curious.
You're not doubting her, but you are doubting her.
Questioning. If I was Peter, I would have so many questions. I'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And that's what came to my mind yet again. Glad you brought this up. It happens all the time, which is, oh my God, are they really talking about forming a relationship again? You know, this is another thing we talked about endlessly, which is, you know, no one in real life sits down on the first date and talks about the first date. Or like, where do you see this going? And that's all they talk about on these shows, of course. It's like, but you're right. If I were on The Bachelor, which I would never be, I would be talking about all this crazy stuff. I'd be like, whoa, you know, like, how'd you get into pageants? And, you know, like, wow, what did you travel all around? Like, what's it like? Like, have you seen Little Miss Sunshine? But they don't talk about those things. It's like, tell me where you see yourself in 10 years or, you know, all that kind of BS.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff that you really should. I mean, a lot of things would get avoided if you asked the real questions, as opposed to the, like, wait, something isn't, that's weird. Why is that? Like, you know, if you really probed the way you would in real life. So, well, bringing up the things they did talk about, it's funny how this season, I feel like there's a lot of people in play, even though everyone has their solid three predictions, like solid three finalists in their predictions. I feel like he talked about Aleia. It's not Aleia. It's Aleia.
Yeah. Aleia.
And Victoria, who I never saw coming in terms of his top, but you know, maybe a little bit Victoria, but not really. So I like how she tells this horrible story, right? Like this is bad.
Yeah.
This is sad. And then she's like, maybe you're my knight in shining armor. Yeah. And then he's like, well, I don't know about that. So let's play the clip.
I don't know if this is like the stars aligning or what this is.
Who knows if the stars are aligning for us? A couple days before all this started, I had a really special moment where I felt like I just knew this was going to work. I just started like talking to God, and I just was like, I don't know where she is, but watch over her. And the second that I said that, a shooting star went across the sky, and she could be here right now. This is next to me.
God is invoked. It's very heavy.
That sounds way better audio only than watching it last night.
Yeah. This reminds me of Luke P's God in the shower moment. You remember? It's like God came to him in the shower and told him he needed to become celibate, basically.
Right.
This is like God spoke to Peter and the stars.
Killed a star 10,000 years ago so that Peter would see it and know he would get a wife. Like that's the thinking. That's the shower one. Yeah. I mean, like I said during the live thing, the shower is really loud and you can hear what sounds like voices. Like, I don't disbelieve that, but this one is
especially
because
that's when he got the clarity to decide to stop partying, which means he was probably partying hard the night before, which means he was either really hungover or still feeling the effects of hard drugs. And so you got the water pouring down on you.
Oh, Luke. Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking when that moment happened in the show with Peter and the shooting star and stuff, like, for some reason in my head, I assumed that this moment happened while he was piloting a plane, you know?
Right.
So he's like flying a Delta flight to Atlanta or something. And he's being like, God, take care of my future wife for me. And then sees a shooting star and his co-pilot is like, what the hell are you doing? You know? Like, are you okay, man?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, it's totally unrelated. I'm big, you know, as our longtime listeners know, I live in an old factory and I have really big floor to ceiling factory windows and you can see out over LA and stuff. So I'll sit at night and kind of ponder the sky. And it really is unfortunate that in LA, you really, there are no stars at all. You can see the moon, obviously, and you can see Venus and Mars if they're up, but that's about it, right? But if you go anywhere else, that's not a big city. Obviously, you get tons of stars. And if you go to northern state, which is really cold in the middle of winter, then you get to see the Milky Way. And it's just absolutely life-changing to live in a place where you get to see that every night. It's easy to see how the stars can really start to, you know, you can really get connected to them and see how people might think that the stars have some sort of influence on their life. But here in LA, there's the moon and there's a planet. And that is it. There's no, I don't even know how he could see a shooting star in LA. So I think you're right, Caitlin. He would have to have been flying to get above, to get high enough to even see the stars to know that there was a shooting star.
I don't want to contradict you, Craig, but There is, weirdly enough, an observatory only like 5 miles from our house. Yeah, we went there.
You can
like
look through the telescope
3 weeks ago, and there's stars. But the thing is,
it's not like,
we're really close
like
to downtown
here.
It's
not like the Hubble telescope.
It's, no, no, it's an old
one built before there were lights at night.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that it's not like we live very close to downtown, so of course there's, you know, there's light pollution and everything. But you go a tiny, tiny bit out, and you can see it. Yeah, you can see stars. Okay. So I don't know. Like, I get what Caitlin's saying, though, that, yeah, probably definitely flying. And I never even thought that. I thought he just kind of looked up, and there it was. And because I don't have that good a vision.
The way he tells it, or the sense I is that, like, every day he just, oh, I'll go for a spin in the plane, right? Like, whereas we would go home and lay on the couch and watch the news, he just goes flying, I think. And he can afford it because his parents are rich and he lives at home. He probably sees stars all the time.
We got our first falling in love with. I don't know if you guys heard that, so I'll just.
Yes.
Who believes in the process?
Victoria P.
I believe in process.
Wow, that was good, Craig.
I have no memory
of that out of nowhere.
Wait, can you play it one more time and I won't talk over it?
Who believes in the process?
I believe in the process.
Okay, now I really want to know how does this relate to the new topic at hand?
Victoria P. believes in the process. She said, I am fall, you know, she said it in reference to something else. She said, I can't believe this is happening to the guy I'm falling in love with. 3 weeks in, amazing. Okay. No, not a record at all, but still, that I didn't expect it.
Because she knows, because she grew up watching The Bachelor, that the show will end in love. So she believes in the process enough to say that she is falling in love after 3 weeks.
Good connection. You just wrote my term paper for me.
Oh. Yeah,
she didn't say it to Peter. She said it in a confessional to the camera thing. So I don't know if, like, presumably she's going to say it to him at some point soon. But, like, I was thinking, I can't remember which one of you mentioned this, they're talking about how Peter was so, like, oh, he's so into Victoria P, and then he's also into Alaya, but he's into like 10 women seriously right now. Yeah. I feel like he's been like,
yes,
I see a future here with like many, many women.
But that's good, right? I mean, isn't that the point of the show?
Yeah, I guess so. It is. It does seem weird to me in the sense that you'd assume he would have his like very distinct favorites, and I think there's a few that like clearly he's really into Madison because he keeps on coming up to her and being like, remember when you met my family and it was amazing? And she's like, oh my God, it was so amazing, you know? But I feel like he has so many favorites right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, he sees a future with literally everyone.
Yeah. Well, how about we get into Alaya? Because
Alaya.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Sure. So anyone have anything to say about, well, that is part of the pillow date, actually.
Well, I have something to start off with, just kind of a stray thought, which is she looks drastically different without makeup than with makeup. And you know me, EZR, I'm hard on women that wear too much makeup. I mean, men too, obviously, but I've never been a woman that wears makeup, so I don't know what the motivations are to put on too much makeup, but If you watch that show, Siesta Key, I gave up after the first season. They wear so much makeup. It's like you don't really know what they look like in real life. But she's like that. She looks really different. She looks like Anne Hathaway when she's not wearing makeup. Do you get that sense? No? Okay. But then when she wears the makeup, she looks like a cat, you know?
I thought she was... I like I said before, I'm not a big fan of makeup, and I don't normally care if women wear it. And it's true, she looks different, but I thought she looks really good with makeup on. And she doesn't look bad without makeup either. Like, but it's strange that she looks good either way. Mostly you're hiding something, you know, bad acne
I don't disagree.
Or something if you
it's
put
just,
on a lot.
She looks different, more different she looks different to a degree more than average.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it this week, but the other two, I have noticed that a lot of the women are like doing this thing where with their lipstick and lip liner, they're like lining outside of their lip line, I guess, to make it look bigger.
Whoa.
But it looks really weird to me that it'll be like, your lipstick's like too far outside of your lip, basically.
Yeah. There's this obsession with big lips. Ooh, I
didn't notice that, Caitlin. Who did that? Can you like, can you name names?
I was gonna say, I remember that Madison has definitely done it. I need to tell Peter about this immediately.
Yeah.
Peter. Some women here are lining their lips too far outside their natural lip line.
Lying about their lip line.
Well, you know how in golf...
They're misleading you about their lip size.
In golf, there's this thing where people, like, members of the club where the golf tournament is happening will watch the TV feed. And if they see a violation of the rules, they'll call the club and report it. And then some club representative will go tell the officials, and then they'll dock strokes from the player based on what someone saw on TV. They've changed the rule just this last year, I think, because it was so controversial. But yeah, they should have a hotline where if we see something that Peter didn't see, we call in, and then the producers will let him know that's a thing.
That's the point of the damn show, Craig, to not tell. They purposefully set it up so that no one knows, so that Peter is like, huh, this whole time she lied to me?
Well, it'll make more sense when they finally move the Bachelor franchise, the cinematic universe, to Disney Plus, and we're actually getting real-time 24-hour feeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. When it's live.
Yeah. Bachelor Live on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the... Okay. Last season, we said... This is straight from my notes from last season. That Peter is, this is what I said. So we said, I said, but I think you agreed. Peter is cute and naive. So he'd be a great bachelor because he doesn't understand fights and nuances, which is the best kind of bachelor, right?
He definitely does not understand fights and nuances.
Right.
Yeah. Now, like this last episode, I mean, it made me like, is this guy dumber than Colton? Is that easy to do? And he's got to be one stupid motherfucker. I'm so mad.
Example.
He sat down with a group full of women and said, excuse me, miss, you talked crap about someone in this group. Can you tell the whole group? You never do that. What does he think that?
Oh, you mean at the pool party? Is that what you mean?
No! Craig!
No, it's on the group date, Craig.
Whoa, why are you ganging up on me? I was live like, tweeting. I missed something.
Craig did not notice this.
Well, I am a male. I'm a cis hetero male, so maybe I just am like Peter naturally.
Oh. Caitlin, could you stand it when he, like, he immediately got Coltonized in my head. I no longer think anything about him. And if I was Sydney, I would be really mad. I'd be like, oh, fuck. Okay, wait. So let's play the clip before, so that Craig understands. And okay. I did cut some of the tension out, but it's still there. It's palpable.
I saw kind of firsthand what happened last season. And my biggest fear in this is possibly getting blindsided. And I hate feeling like I might possibly be being fooled right now. Sydney, sorry to kind of put you on the spot, but you had mentioned that there were people that maybe are different off camera or different in the house when I'm not there, and then when they are with me, I want to just kind of squash this now.
Maybe Alea, like maybe you put on a little bit for the imagery of things. I mean, does anybody else feel that way?
Oh my God, Craig.
Well, yeah, no, that's it. You're right. That was heavy. I was trying to remember Sydney's name. I couldn't for the life of me think of her name. And the best I could do was Stockton. And I was
that's
like,
not that close.
Stockton would be kind of a clever name for someone, if you think about it. Okay. No, you're right. No. Okay, so he basically torpedoed the group date by not being able to loosen up and let this go for a night so they could have fun and do their can I steal you bit.
I mean, he has a great reason. Maybe he got nervous and he got in nervous mode. And honestly, interviewing everyone individually, separately, quietly, is a good move, which he eventually did. Because that's the way to verify if you're getting fooled. And we'll talk about the Sydney Aaliyah thing in a second. But the what's wrong with the... Is that wrong to do? Is that wrong to do in a group full of guys? Is that... That's wrong to do, right?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Clear this up for me, Caitlin.
On the one hand, I understand why he would do it, because it's like, I think his line of reasoning was like, I'll ask Sydney in front of everybody, and then it will just be like super honest, and we'll know who it is, and then we'll figure this out. But yeah, I think that was, it is the kind of thing that then puts a lot of pressure on the person who originally was kind of coming to you, right? And also like that silence, you know, when Aaliyah was like, well, does anyone else feel this way? And it's just like all the women are sort of looking away. And it's like, well, we find out later on the episode that a lot of them do feel that way, but they definitely wouldn't say it in that environment. You know what I mean? That they didn't want to be... Aaliyah says this to Sydney later on the episode where she was like, well, if everyone feels this way, how come like you're the only one who said it to me? And she was like, I have the balls to say it. Nobody else does. And I was like, right. She doubles has a down. Point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doubles down. And I feel like a lot of people do not want to do that because they don't want to seem like a tattletale or a snitch to everyone else. And they don't want Aaliyah to then like come for them, you know?
Or a caddy or something like that. Or caddy or something like
yeah, that. Yeah, they feel like it makes them look bad to be the person being like, yeah, I think you're fake too, you know?
But Craig, this is what's called, like, let's use this term correctly. This is what's called emotional intelligence. You never, ever, ever do that in any circumstance. Like professional, maybe in a family, maybe. Right. Even then, you feel someone out. Like, it's just, I feel like it's genuinely dumb to do. Even if you're freaking out and you are frazzled, you just don't do that. It made me lose a lot of respect for him, or it made me feel like he's really immature. So this might be my, like, even though this was...
Your turning point.
Yeah, in essence, like, a boring episode, I do feel like I see him completely differently now.
Yeah, and now that I think back... I agree. I mean, he kept going on it, the issue, when he could have just dropped it. It seemed like this was one time too many that he tried to address the issue.
Yeah. Okay. Away from Peter, and we've said this before too, is that if I were to go on one of these shows, which I would never... I would definitely be the Sydney for someone that didn't do anything to me, just someone that annoys me. Right. And that's why I will never go on one of these shows. But it's, you know, in a way, I mean, I guess we haven't really seen what they've seen, but I think Hannah Ann is more deserving of what they're accusing Aaliyah of. It's weird. What's weird to me is that despite everything I'm saying about, I would definitely be the one who'd be like, you, I hate you, get out of, like, you know, you are horrible and fake. I would totally do that. And it's bad. It's like not a good trait, I think. Yeah. I need to let things go a lot. Then my ultimate point is that it's weird to me that I bet you people in Bachelor Nation are divided on this. Some people are going to be on Aaliyah's side. Some people are going to be like Sydney's side, because it feels like she said, she said. It doesn't quite feel like Sydney... I feel like Sydney stuck her neck out and didn't have to, and I think that's a good thing.
It was enlightening, though. We learned a lot about pageantry just in a few minutes. For instance, if you hold a title, you can't have a job.
Oh, that moment where...
That's what she said.
She said if you hold like Miss America or Miss USA, I think, if you have like the national title.
Well, she said, if I can paraphrase what she said, I think what I heard her say was, if you have Miss USA, you can't have a job. And, you know, I've held a few titles myself, and yeah, you can't work. I think that's what she said. She was trying to imply that the reason she never had a job is because she's held titles, because she was asked point blank if she's ever had a job, and she was trying to defend herself. So she could have been.
But she said she had three jobs.
Yeah.
And her chiron says dental assistant.
Yeah, you're right. So why did she say that then? Why did she not just come and say, I'm a dental assistant?
Well, orthodontist.
Yeah. No, you're right. This thing here. Why didn't she just come right out and say, well, okay, she said I have three jobs, but then she went right into the pageants can't hold jobs. Why didn't she just say, yeah, I have three jobs and one of them is an orthodontist assistant? That would have ended that conversation right there.
I think what she was talking about was ones like she could have a job if she's like Miss San Antonio or something like that, but that she couldn't have a job if she won Miss America, because that's like a bigger time commitment of having like events that they want you at and things like that.
I love how you could have literally picked any location in America and you picked San Antonio.
Well, I know she was Miss Texas, and I feel like I'm remembering that she's from San Antonio. But I might be misremembering that.
I would imagine they do something clever, like call it, you know, Miss Alamo.
They have ones, I feel like there's pageants in Texas that are things like the Yellow Rose of Texas or something like that.
This doesn't matter. This is totally unimportant. Where are we at? I'm totally
confused. It's you. I mean, that's the end of the episode. The one thing that was weird to me, another not piece of the puzzle fitting in, because we've had a few of them now in this podcast, you know, based on this episode, is that he gets to go home instead of stay at the mansion, unlike other bachelors. Like Chris Harrison came on this. He went home. He's done being the bachelor.
Oh, you're just like, okay. You're right.
He goes back to his parents' house. Yeah.
So
yeah,
Colton
to cry in their lap.
Hops the fence Indonesia or wherever they are, and Portugal. All hell breaks loose. You know, they like bring out the SWAT team to try to find him, whereas Peter just goes home. Like, it's no big deal.
They let Peter just like wander out whenever he wants to.
Well, he's more
sensitive. The way Chris Harrison said it made it sound like, girls, he's gone home. Show's over. Wrap it up. Pack your bags. It did not sound like he'll be right back. You know, he's going to collect his thoughts type talk. It's not. Mm-hmm. It would make me nervous hearing that. Like, you went home down the street? Why? Why did you stay on bed?
Down the street.
He took an Uber home from the Bachelor Mansion.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we should talk about the when Chris Harrison comes in and takes away one of the last roses very dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah, so what was up with that? So the only thing I could take away from that, it was that the other two women who didn't get roses were just didn't have a chance. Is that the right read on that?
I think that my opinion
is that is the right take,
right? That like that the rose that was taken away, I guess that was earmarked for Alea, and then he decided to not give it to her, so he wasn't even considering giving it to the other women, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And you know how the conversation went when he walked off and found Chris Harrison, and you could see his producer. She was wearing like a white turtleneck, I think. I mean, obviously it was, well, if you don't give her the rose, it gives us an opportunity to bring her back next week. Okay.
Ezer, you're saying earlier his thing with kind of asking Sydney to spill the beans in front of everyone made him less attractive to you. I think this moment when he's talking to the producer at the very end of the episode and he's like, oh no, what if I made a gigantic mistake? That made him less attractive to me, because I'm just like, when she was like, why do you think that? Why did you do it if you actually wanted to keep her?
Yeah,
he's like, everyone told me that she was bad, basically. And I was like, well, you should make up your mind. Either you want to keep her or you don't want to keep her. But like, just like have... I don't know, the courage of your convictions to be like, I decided I didn't trust her, so I sent her home. Or like, I decided I still wanted to get to know her, even though all of these other women brought up valid concerns, but like, whatever, you know, instead of waffling kind of between all of them.
Well, yeah. kind of respected that he was upset afterwards, because he's doing, let's just say that they would have cut this differently and we would have seen Aaliyah be whatever the girls say that she is from night one. And then we're at home because you don't know how they're going to spin it. And we're saying, Peter, cut her, cut her. And he's like, I'm going to keep her. And you're like, oh, that's such a producer plant to keep her, because, you know, they want the drama of her sticking around. And what he did in real life would be a good choice. But on The Bachelor, you really have to question and then question again who's manipulating who. Mm-hmm. Contestants are manipulating you. Producers are manipulating you. You feel like you like her. You haven't seen that. Like that is a real, I felt like that was a real, real, triple real moment because of all the layers. Right. And I get what you mean in general, but I can see the confusion and being kind of overwhelming because you feel like she's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of time is dedicated to just that notion in the book, capital B, Bachelor Nation, which is the whole situation of the mansion is so confusing, and that you end up making this, you end up not being able to make decisions that you would normally be able to make or whatever. So I guess that's a kind of implied defense of Peter, but just give her the damn rose and figure it out later, right? Isn't that the whole point of the show?
Maybe he thought of it as like ripping off a Band-Aid, you know, if I just let her go, I'll get over it. And then he was like, no, wait a minute. It didn't feel right after I didn't do it. You know, now
I'm starting to get upset with the show. Sorry, you've touched the nerve. What is it with Bachelor and Bachelorettes that they get so obsessed with people being there for the right reasons? I mean, what changes? You were on the show as a contestant. You know exactly how the show works and what emotions are. And you know what you were thinking, what everyone else was thinking. And then you become the Bachelor or Bachelorette, and suddenly you think people are there not for the right reasons? Ugh.
Well, you probably, because you meet a lot of people that aren't, and maybe you weren't. You know, there's no better way to spot a fake than you being a fake.
Okay. I think you just nailed it.
Yeah. Although I would say, like, with Peter, my sense is that he was there for the right reasons, if that makes sense. Because he did seem very...
Right.
Like, he's not chasing fame in a certain way, right? Like, he could be doing a lot more if he wanted to be, I think, than he is. So it seemed to me like he had genuine feelings for Hannah, that he was, like, actually really into it. But then I think the stuff you brought up about seeing Hannah fall for, like... for Jed in particular, and like know that Jed was lying to her basically the whole time, right? That he wasn't there for her.
Yeah.
I feel like that would probably scar. It seemed like it scarred him in a certain way to be like, oh, it's so easy to just be fooled by somebody because you see what you want to see, you know?
Yeah. And I do have one more thing on my list that kind of bounces off what you just said, Caitlin, but Ezra, do we have a Here for the Right Reasons drop? Did we record something like that? It would be titled Here for the Right Reasons.mp3.
Yeah, that's why it's weird that I can't find it immediately. We have Wrong Reasons, Vulnerable, Fashion, Didn't Say No.
It doesn't matter. So Jay in LA, good friend on Twitter, big fan of the podcast. So you know how Demian comes in and does her thing? And she was like, just like last year, I'm going to get to the root of these women and find out who's here for the right reasons, right? That's basically what she said. Mm-hmm. Jay in LA pointed out that, no, in fact, she didn't help last season because she didn't weed out Jed in her little hidden camera trick, right? If anything, she hurt Hannah because she gave him a stamp of approval, and look what happened.
You know, you like Demi Craig.
I liked
Demi. I think she's like I've never actually seen the show, but I think she's the Omarosa of The Bachelor. Like, they keep bringing her back for ratings. Like, I really don't know. I'm assuming people like you. It's for people like you who liked her or who like her.
No.
But she's not that interesting.
I thought she was super interesting when she was a contestant. And then, you know, I think a lot of a lot of me turning to not really being interested in her anymore was that her girlfriend on Bachelor in Paradise was so uninteresting. I mean, she had no personality. So that just kind of, and then they just kept putting her out there more and more, and then she kept playing that same, like, I'm sassy, I'm woke. Well, what did you think of the pillow fight stuff then?
I thought it was boring. No, it's just kind of like, what is this date? And I like Demi on Paradise and things like that. Like, I've enjoyed her, but I felt like she didn't add anything to this episode, really. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, oh, she's on this. But I feel like they could have had a more interesting date planned or something.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can't knock them for trying. You know, I could totally see you're in the production meeting. It's like, okay, let's bring Demi in. What should we do? Oh, well, how about a pillow fight where they're all wearing lingerie? Or, sorry, Lingerie, as what's her name pronounced it?
Kiara, I think.
Maybe that's how the French like pronounce that girl. It. I don't know.
I do. And honestly, I feel like of the misusing of words or mispronouncing of words on this episode, I give her much more of a pass in that, like, if you'd never heard lingerie said out loud, you'd only ever read it, lingerie does make sense.
Yeah.
But Hannah Ann's, like, finasco thing, it doesn't make sense reading or saying, you know?
Wait, what did she say?
Oh, when she was having the beginning of the episode, when Kelsey and Hannah Ann were still hashing out their champagne drama. She said something about, like, the whole stealing the champagne finasco instead of fiasco.
Finasco, I love it.
Yeah, they even put it in the subtitles, spelled like quote marks around finasco to be like, yeah, we know that's not a word.
Well, Izar, you put a meme up on our Instagram at Bachelor Masters where you circled a subtitle, because you watch it with the subtitles or the captions. Yeah. It, like, was a sentence that had absolutely no meaning whatsoever. It was like, goo goo gaga.
Well, it's so funny that that they made a point of making fun of those two girls for pronouncing things wrong, but then they got a caption completely wrong. So it's the part where Madison and Peter are, like, you know, New Zealand kissing, like their foreheads are touching and they're into each other, like middle school into each other, and they're kind of saying sweet things to each other, and the captions say that Peter says mama drama dust.
It's like, this is great.
There's nothing that could ever elicit that response. But when mama drama dust to it, he obviously says I'm gonna try my best. So if you can't kind of say that to try to say mama drama dust. I'm a try my best. Mama drama dust.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, he doesn't have an accent. I mean, he doesn't have.
Well, it makes me wonder, like, anymore, are the captions made by a computer or are they hand typed? I wonder.
They're made by a computer and then they're corrected.
Oh, are they? Okay. So someone goes,
no, I don't know if that's true for The Bachelor. Yeah, but who, like, they left that in. It's like an Easter egg.
You know, this non-corporate podcast, The Bachelor Masters, they caught on that our Easter egg of mama drama mod.
Drama test. Yeah, and then you can't make fun of those two girls if you're not even going to understand what English as a primary language person says that makes sense with what he's talking about.
Well, speaking of lingerie, maybe we end on this. I don't think we need to play the fashion roundup drop, but let's have a quick fashion roundup. So aside from the pillow fighting, which as a cis hetero male, I'm just not interested in, the lingerie was actually pretty cool. Like, all, they're all wearing different kinds of lingerie. I thought that some of them were really cool looking.
I did like some of the, like, when they were wearing pajama shirts, like open on top, unbuttoned. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I thought some of that was cute. I thought the fashion thing you were going to bring up first was
the pantsuit.
Yeah, well, not the pantsuit, although I liked the pantsuit. I thought you were going to bring up Aaliyah's lace pants at the pool party.
Laced pants.
Yeah, very Nicole.
Well, yeah. She was the one that, so I was going to bring up, because it was Aaliyah that wore a black pantsuit outfit during the rose ceremony.
Yeah, I liked that one. I thought it looked good.
But you're saying that she also wore a lace pant suit thingy to the
Not like a full onesie jumper kind of thing, but over her bathing suit, she wore a pant, like a pair of black lace pants.
I guess
kind
maybe of like, I have a memory of that.
Huh. On Paradise, remember Nicole used to wear like lace pants over her bathing suits? It's the same kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Alaya was wearing like a thong, so I think she had to wear something.
Yeah, because otherwise they'd have to blur out your butt every shot.
if it was guys doing it, I think you would call it peacocking. So I'm surprised Alaya didn't strut her stuff around the pool deck. Why would they lace up? Why would they wear something over it to be more, I don't know, conservative or something?
They already hate her. Can you imagine if she has like the best butt of them all? Like, I don't know. she does not want more of a target
the best
on her back.
Spray tan.
Oh boy, you know who has a terrible tan going on? Is Madison's skin tone. I feel like I'm harping on Madison so much where I'm like, her makeup's bad. Also her skin, she like it's a fake tanner or something, but it looks like she's gone a weird shade at this point.
Yeah. And I think she wore orange once and I was like, ooh, not the orange with the orange.
Like, yeah, it's a little like too much fake tanner, I think. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're reminding me of one other thing I thought about. Since I'm already in this cis hetero male mode, Michaela, she's the blonde woman who thought she wasn't going to get a rose until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michaela. Yeah,
I gotta say,
McKenna, but McKenna.
She was like rolling her eyes and stuff. That was pretty sexy.
Wait, you thought that was sexy?
What?
She was
say
making
that again?
Some wild faces.
I don't know. I guess I kind of have this. I thought it was kind of sexy that she was sort of pissed off and angry. You know, they say, "Oh, you're so sexy when you're angry." It was kind of like that.
I thought she was like having an emotional breakdown. Honestly, like she looked like she was freaking out. Like every time they would pan to her, and she'd be doing like some wild looking face, and I was like, oh boy, this is going a bad way.
Well, I liked it. What can I say? You can't control what you find attractive.
I guess. I don't know. That was a good way to make it about her at the end.
Yeah.
She's like, what's Peter? You know, why is he so upset? She's like, I didn't even get it. Like, there's no reason to cry over that.
She was just angry. I don't know if she was crying.
Oh. Yeah, she cried. Right, Caitlin, she cried. She was like, I didn't even get any time with this.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
right.
I don't remember exactly, Caitlin, but I feel like...
Here. Oh.
I was like, I say I don't remember if she cried or not, but it definitely sounded like she might cry if she didn't. But I was thinking, like, during the rose ceremony, after she had already brought up at the end of the pool party when Chris comes out and is like, Peter's gone home and he's not going to talk to any of you for the ever again. but yeah, like, and she was freaking out that she hadn't gotten to talk to him at all, and there were a bunch of other women who hadn't gotten to talk to him. And yeah, and then during the rose ceremony when they kept on like ramping up the drama of like he'd give a rose to another woman and they'd pan over to her and she'd be like ripping her hair out.
Yeah. Well, she definitely wiped away a tear. I don't know when crying starts, like she had tears. Like, you know, I guess if you're just like trying not to, she wasn't, you know, I don't know. That's a fuzzy line.
Yeah. Well, I liked it. We'll just table that. Anything else? I mean, I think we've done a pretty good job with a small amount of content this week.
Small amount.
You got anything else?
No, I think we've covered everything.
All right. Well, agreed. Thanks for listening, everyone out there. And you know how to get a hold of us on Twitter at Bachelor Masters, on Instagram at Bachelor Masters. I'm going to start saying this season that you can leave a review on the Apple Podcast app and we'll read it and really appreciate it. And we also have a Facebook that no one uses. Someday we'll get a like on a post, and that'll be a big moment. We'll have to celebrate with some with some champagne from Des Moines.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.